Today's daf is Nida Mem Gimel. We're going to start at the very top of the daf. Amar Rish Lakish. Kaneh b'kum toshal zav. We were talking about the Beit HaStarim, the hidden places in the body, and how there's no, if something's in the hidden places of the body, we talked about the difference between the Beit HaStarim and the Makom Blu'ah, right, a place that's all the way inside versus the place that's Beit HaStarim. So we said the Beit HaStarim is Metameh B'masa. And if you move it, if something's in there and you move it from place to place, so that then it will carry tumah, but not if it's just touching your body in that place. So let's say you have a kaneh b'kum toshal zav, v'hisit bo et ha-tahur. Okay, there's a special, unique law by zav called tumat hesed, which is that if I move something and that something moves something else, if I'm a zav, let's say, or a zava, and I move it, then that item that I moved will become tameh. It's kind of like masa. Masa is you're actually carrying it. Here you're not carrying it. You're just kind of shoving it over by not actually being in contact with it. So if you have a reed under your underarm and you're a zav, and the zav then moves the reed, and that is not the zav himself, but the reed kind of pushes something. So we're going to say that's tahor, okay? Pushes something that's tahor, or someone that's tahor, it remains tahor. But kaneh b'kum toshal tahor v'hisit bo et hazav. But if the reed was in the armpit of a regular person who wasn't tameh, and with that reed he moved the zav, we're going to say that that's tameh. So the Gemara says, yeah. the tahor person is tameh because he moved the zav. Okay, so we're going to see my taima. So they say da'amar kra. The pasuk says v'chol asher yigabo hazav. The Yadav lo shataf b'mayim. Okay, here's a pasuk in Bayikra Tefav Yud Aleph. It says, anything the Zav touches, and Yadav lo shataf b'mayim, they use that for other things. V'chibes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tameh ad ha'erev. Now there it says, if the Zav touches something, but the problem is that that pasuk already appeared, and we already know that something a Zav touches is a problem. So they learn from this pasuk, Zeu haseto shel Zav. Shelo matzinu lo tum'a b'chol ha-Torah kula. Okay, so now they say, that's a unique halacha by a zav. The fact that it says lo yiga twice, it must be coming to teach some other type of nigiyah, some other type of touching, which it isn't actually touching, it's moving, causing something to be moved indirectly. That's a tumah, shelo matzinu b'chol ha-Torah, only by zav. Va'av ke rachmana b'lashon nigiyah. Now why did, if they wanted to say hesed, they should have said hesed, or some word that meant hesed. Why did it say chiyiga? Leme or cholasheriga, lemeimra dehesed unegia ki yadav, to teach you that hesed and negia are just like his own hands. Ma hata meavrai, af hacha meavrai. That in order to be metame, it has to be on the outside. In other words, it can't, right, just like negia has to be outside and not in beta starim, also the hesed has to be benegia and not beta starim. Okay. It didn't really explain why in the case where the tahor had the kaneh and he moved the zav. So they say because it's like he carried the zav, and something, someone who carries a zav, who's tameh, right, becomes, that's what we call tumat masa, who carries, it's either you're tameh and you carry something, or someone carries something tameh. So he's basically considered like he carried something. It doesn't matter that the reed was bebeda starim, in the end, he basically ended up carrying the zav. Aval azav ubal keri einam mitameim. Back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem, Aval Azav Ubal Keri Einam Tamim Aj Tetze Tumatan Lachutz. Right, until now we kept talking about the Nida and the Zava, right? All those women who are Mitama Bebeda Chitzon, even inside their bodies. Well, when it comes to the Zav and the Bal Keri, they're only Mitame when it leaves their bodies. So where do we know this from? Zav Dichtiv Ki Hiyazav Mivsaro. No, notice what it says, from his basar, as opposed to the woman, it said bivsara, in her basar, in her flesh. Here it says, from his flesh. So what do we learn from there? Ad sheyase zavo mivsaro, it has to come out of his body. That's the zav. Bal keri, dichtiv, v'ish ki teitze mimenu shechvat zera. Okay, some people say it's from the word teitze, it has to leave. Some people say it's mimenu, from him means outside of his body. Haya ochel b'truma v'hirgish. Okay, now we're going to get back, right? If we've said a bunch of times that the rabbis are talking about things about women's bodies that they don't understand, so now we can view ourselves as women learning things about men's bodies that don't go on in our bodies, and maybe we understand less. So here's now a whole sugya that we already learned in the beginning of the Masechet. They're going to repeat it about this case where the person was eating truma, If you remember, v'hirgish nizdaz duev harav, this comes up in our Mishnah, right? He feels like the seam is about to come out, so what does he do? He holds himself back so that while he's eating the truma, remember, since it's only a problem once it leaves his body, it doesn't matter that it's already on its way out, as long as he kind of holds it in, swallows the truma quickly, and then it comes out. And then he's only tame after he ate the truma, and the truma is no longer disqualified. So, haya ochez. So now the Gemara is going to say, how could he be ochez ba'aman? This is where we got into this in the first place, earlier in the Masechet. V'hatanya, Rabbi Elazar omer, kol ochez ba'aman u'mashtin ki'ilu mevim abul ha'olam. A man is not supposed to touch himself there. This goes back to all the pages we learned about masturbation. So, it's as if he's bringing a flood to the world. Amar Abaye b'matzlit ava. He holds himself there with some sort of soft cloth, right? We just question this then. If he's got to do this very quickly, I don't know that he's necessarily got a thick cloth. It's definitely not a soft cloth, the opposite. It's a thick cloth, which is basically not going to cause himself to be stimulated. Rava Amara filu tema b'matlit raka. Rava says it could even be a soft cloth. Why? We're not so worried because kevan to akar, since it's already coming out, he's not going to cause any more to come out by stimulating it. It's already been stimulated. Abaye says, no, maybe more will come out if he touches himself, well, it'll cause more stimulation. Virava lo sufe lo chayesh. He says, no, we're not worried that more will come out, that he can stimulate himself even more than he already was. And then they say, Vahatanya lamaze dome linotain etzba ba'ayin. So they ask on Rava, what do you mean? It says already in Braita that this is like if you put your finger in your eye, you can keep causing more bleeding and more bleeding and more bleeding. So if he stimulates himself, he could cause more to come out.
It's tears.
It's tearing.
What did I say?
Bleeding.
Oh, I meant tearing. No, his eye tearing. All the blood's in my head. Okay, yes, tearing. Sorry. So if you keep putting your finger in your eye, more tears and more tears will come out. And Rava says, Koli chamue v'hader ichamume b'shata lo shachiach. Once you've already stimulated yourself, it's much harder to re-stimulate yourself, and therefore it's rare that he would stimulate himself, and then more stimulation. So once it came out, you know, that would be it. Yeah.
He's worried about which truma being tame, the one that's already in his mouth. What happens if it is?
This whole discussion now, you're talking about in the Mishnah or the discussion we're talking about? The Mishnah is concerned with the truma that's in his hand. The Gemara is concerned with how do we... Yeah, the truma that was in his mouth.
What happens if he becomes tameh? So what? He's just about to swallow it. Then what?
No, but he's hayal chel b'truma. I think he's
clearly not going to eat anymore.
He's got it in his hand. He's ready to eat it. I don't know that it's necessarily already in his mouth. In other words, he quickly sticks it in his mouth, but he can be metameh while it's in his mouth. We talked about that. And then what exactly would happen.
I don't see what the effect
right.
is exactly.
Right, but the whole discussion later has nothing to do with that.
Right.
The whole discussion later is just how do we even allow him to touch himself. Right. That's a separate discussion. Okay, so Amar Shmuel. Kol shechvat zera she'ein kol gufo margish ba, eina metama. My taima, shechvat zera amar rachmana b'ru'uya lahazriya. Comes Shmuel and he says, any shechvat zera that we're talking about that's metame has to be shechvat zera that's ra'oy lahazriya, meaning it has to be that it came with an ejaculation and not just a little bit dripping out. Okay, so if a little bit drips out, that's not going to be tumat shechvat zera. So meitiv, they ask a question on him. Look at the following source. Hayamar her balayla. If he was having thoughts during the night that caused semen to come out, ba'amad u'matzab sarocham, tameh. Okay, he wakes up and he realizes his body's hot in that area. He becomes tameh, even though he doesn't see any shechvat zera. So this couldn't possibly be if he doesn't see anything. Right? The assumption is it's kind of like ein p'tichat hakever below dam, right? That it must be there was blood there when her womb opened. Likewise here, if he's hot, his body's hot there, it must be that some came out. We just don't see it. But clearly, if a little bit came out, right? This is only a little bit coming out. Otherwise, you would have really seen it if his body was... if he really ejaculated. So, Tirgama Rapuna, b'mishamesh mitato b'chalomo, di'ev shal l'shamesh b'lo hargasha. Rapuna says this must be a case where he had a dream that he was having sex, and there can't possibly be, if he was having this dream, he must have had a hargasha. It must have been that it came out, and Obviously, we don't really know what happened to it, but there must have been some, and as they're saying there's something, you could have maybe a hargasha with just a little bit coming out, but there was this sensation in his body which caused it to come out that then would have been ro'oi lazria, and that's how they explain this braita. Now there's a bit of a different version of how this discussion came about. So according to our version, Shmuel said, kol shechazera, if he does en margishba, en amitama, we explained why, then we brought this braita to the contradictor, Rav Huna explained the braita. According to this version, the discussion was a little different. Amar Shmuel, kol shechvatzera she'eino yoreh kechetz. Okay, instead of saying it's something that has to be ra'oy lazria, that doesn't come out shooting like an arrow. Eina mitama. So now they say, ma'ika ben ha'ilish na ha'ilish. What's the difference between saying it's ra'oy lazria or it's yoreh kechetz? It sounds like there are two things that are just describing the same thing. So, ika benayu ne'ekra bahargasha v'yatsa shelo bahargasha. This goes back to what we're talking about, the woman's body. It's a very similar analogy. Like before we talked about it, it comes out of her womb and then it comes out of her body. So here it comes out of the man's, it starts coming out, like there's some big sensation, but then it doesn't actually come out quickly. So then that wouldn't be yorek echetz, but it would be with a hargasha, and ro'oi lazria. So now they say, milta de pshita le l'shmuel. So now this was obvious to Shmuel that it has to either come with a hargasha or yorek echetz. But mibayale le Rava, what was simple and obvious to Shmuel, Rava himself questioned. Debai Rava, Rava asked the following question. Ne'ekra b'hargasha v'yatsa shelo b'hargasha ma'u. Now, what do you mean it was simple to Shmuel? We just said, depending on which version of Shmuel. But what they're basically saying is, either that version or that version, it'll be obvious what Shmuel's conclusion is, right? The man has some sort of hargasha, but it comes out without this hargasha, so according to Shmuel, right, one version says, well, it has to be yorek kechetz, in which case we'll say this isn't. According to the other version, it is enough to say that he's tummy. So according to Shmuel, it's according to us, we don't know what Shmuel holds, but according to Shmuel, whichever one he said, it was obvious where he's going with it. But Rava asked exactly that question, what would be the halacha? Tashma, so they bring a source for Rava to answer his question, Tana'itic source, Balkeri shetaval, below he til mayim. So he's a balkeri. He goes to the mikveh, but he hasn't urinated before he goes to the mikveh. L'chashito mayim tameh. If he urinates right after going to the mikveh, he's tameh, because we assume that there was some shechvat zera still mixed in there, that it didn't come out. So what do you see here? So this shows that the semen came out without there being any sort of hargasha, any real ejaculation. It just kind of dripped out with the urine. So they say, oh no, shanehatam deruba baharga nafak. Say, no. There's a difference between some dripping out on its own, or you have the man having an ejaculation, and then at the end a little bit more comes out. The little bit more that comes out is still going to be matame if the source of it came with a hargasha. Lishna achrina, now there's another version. Amrela. Amar Shmuel, that they said to him, Amar Shmuel, kol shechvatzera sheino yorek kechetz, eina mazrat. Now, notice what they said, that Shmuel says here, shechvatzera that's eino yorek kechetz, eina mazrat. Okay, so now, what do you see here? This is different than what Shmuel said before. According to what we saw before, kol shechvatzera, it sounds the same, but you're going to notice there's one word that's very different. Kol shechvatzera sheino yorek kechetz, eina mitam'a. Doesn't make you tummy. But in this source, it says, kol shechvatzera sheino yorek kechetz eina mazra'at, won't impregnate a woman. So now they say, what do we learn from here? Izruehu delo mizra'a hatimuya mitamya. They definitely come to the opposite conclusion. Because he says it's not going to impregnate, he means only that it doesn't impregnate, but that it would make him tummy. By the way, forgot to mention this, we've mentioned it many times though, Shmuel was a doctor and very knowledgeable about scientific things, so it makes sense he's having, what doesn't make sense is there's all these different opinions about what exactly he says, but he's the one commenting, makes a lot of sense. So now, according to this version, daka the opposite conclusion, which is, it is mitame, even if it's not yorek kechetz. How do we learn this? Shenema ki yeh b'chayish asher lo yihyeh tahor mikre. It's mikre laila, right? So here, ki yabcha isha shelo yiyeh tahor mikre laila, v'yatzal michutz l'machaneh lo yavol tocha machaneh. That's in Dvarim Kaf Gimel, and it talks about how the person who has shechvat zera has to leave the community, right? He has to basically be tova. So what did they learn from Mikre? Right, that's why we call it Tumah Keri. It comes from here. Afilu Keri Ba'olam. It doesn't matter any amount of Keri, right? It doesn't matter if it's a little bit. Okay, now we're going to have a bunch of questions of Rava that are going to all end in Teku. By Rava, right, which means no conclusion. By Rava, Ove Kochavim Shehircher V'Yavrad V'Taval. Okay, we have an Ovei Kochavim who's about to convert. He's already done his Brit Milah, and that's why he's about to, right? The last part is he has to go to the mikvah. So he has some thoughts, and Shechva Zera comes out, and then he goes and he's Tovel. Now, but what happened here? Sorry. He was here. The Shechva Zera is getting ready to come out, but it doesn't yet come out. He goes into the mikvah, and then when he comes out of the mikvah, the Shechva Zera comes out. Now, if he's a non-Jew, Shechvatzera is not matame non-Jews. If he's Jewish already, because he tovolt, then Shechvatzera is matame. Now, it did come out after he tovolt. However, the question is, do we count it from the time of the Akira? Again, this is very much like the woman. From the time it started leaving her uterus, right? From the time it started to leave. Or do we count it from the time it actually left his body? So, in Timtzalomar Batar Akira Azlinan, when it was uprooted from its original location, Hane Mile Lechumra. Then, now maybe you'll say, what we're going to follow Akira, but that's going to be Lechumra, right? What did we say before? If there was a Hargasha earlier, even though it didn't yet come out, we're going to say it's Tameh anyway, right? Even though you need the Hargasha, well, as long as the Hargasha happened earlier. But that's Kedei Lahachmir. In this case, if we say we follow Akira, we're going to be Mekel, because he was not Jewish. And if he's not Jewish, then it's not Metameh. So if we say Batar Akira Azlinan, maybe that's only Hanei Mile Lechumra. Aval Hacha De Lekula Lo Amrinan. Maybe we'd say we're not going to go Lekula, so that then when it actually leaves his body and he's Jewish, maybe we should say it's Metame. O Dilma Loshna, or maybe we follow Akira all the way. Teku. So again, we don't know, right? Teku is short for Tekom. It will stand. The question stands. We don't have an answer. Or some people like to say it's Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiyot V'Bayot. Right, that Eliyahu Nevi will come and explain the answer. Okay, next question. These are all going to be very similar type questions. By Rava, Zava. Okay, now we're going to take a Zava. Shene'ekru meme ragleha. Okay, remember the liquids that come out of the body of a Zava or a Zav are tmeim. So her meme ragleha started coming out, but they didn't come out of her body yet. Okay, v'yarda v'tavla, and then she goes to the mikvah, and then the urine comes out. So Mao, do we say that the urine is Tameh? Because when it actually left her body, she was already not a Zava. Im Timtzalomar Batar Akira Azlina. Now again, this is all if we say we go by Akira, by Shechvat Zera, will we say the same thing here or not? So you might say, Hani Mila Shechvat Zera, to lo matze nakila. It's not something you can actually hold in the Shechvat Zera. But aval me ragleha de matze nakila, right? How many times do we hold it in? We need to go to the bathroom. You can hold that in. So since you can hold it in, lo, we say no. O dilma lo shna, or maybe there's no difference. Again, teku. Third question. By Rava. Now we're going to combine the first two a little bit, although it's not exactly combining. But we're going to have the Ovede Kochavim and the Zava, and she goes to the mikvah. So before we start, though, we have to say that an Ovede Kochavim is always considered a Zava midrabanan. If you remember, we talked about that. Her status is that of a Zava, always. Okay, right? Depending on, we've talked about what age it starts, but basically she's considered a Zava derabanan.
Always until she converts.
Until she converts.
Not always after.
Right. Well, once she converts, then she's immediately not a Zava anymore. Okay? So, by Rav, Obede Kochavim Zava, she'ne'ekru me'mei ragleha. So again, her urine's getting ready to come out. V'yarda v'tavla, and then the urine comes out after she becomes Jewish. So if she's a non-Jew, she's considered a Zava and it's Metame. If she's a Jew, then it's not. So in Timtzalom or Batar Akira Azlinan, now in this case, we're going to be Machmir more if we go Batar Akira. So it's not like the first case where we said, oh, we'll be more Machmir once he's Jewish. In this case, we're going to be more Machmir if she's a non-Jew still. So that's not the issue. But what's the issue? If you want to say Batar Akira Azlinan, afagav de matze nakitla, right? If you say, now in the last case we said maybe you don't go Batar Akira because she can actually hold it in. So maybe it really only matters when it leaves her body. But let's say we're going to go by Akira, even in a case of urine where she could actually hold it back from coming out. Hanemile Yisraeli, de Tama Deoraita. But then maybe we're only machmir on a Jew whose tuma is a Deoraita status. Aval Ovede Kochavim, Zava. But her, she's considered a Zava. The Ovede Kochavim, de Tmea Derabanan, lo. Her tuma is only Derabanan status. So maybe we're on a Derabanan, we're not going to be that machmir, and therefore we'll say that really the Urim we're going to go by when it comes out once she's Jewish, and then she's already not a Zava anymore. In which case, she's fine. O Dilma, lo shnar. Do we say no? We follow Akira all the way, Teiko. So this was all about, do we follow Akira all the way, or do we make exceptions to the rule for three different reasons?
You know, if they go in that direction, they could talk about everything else that our body produces that might come out. Bowel movements, stomach juices.
Well, it has to be liquid, so bowel movements wouldn't count. You know, they say it's
spit.
All... Spit, yeah, spit is. Spit, it is. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
I think they're taking one example, not listing everything, but they mean anything.
Yeah, it would be any liquids that come out of your body.
Or whatever to stand in for every liquid that can come out of your body.
Exactly. Okay, now moving on in the Mishnah. Umitam'in v'kol shehin. So now we have this issue that we said, right, the shechvat zera and the zav are mitam'in v'kol shehu. And we even said it's probably also referring to the blood of the woman. So Amar Shmuel, Zav tzarich kechatimat piyama. We also saw this sugya earlier in the Masechet, that the Zav needs, in order for it to cover the head of the penis. Shenemar, o hichtim b'savo. Okay, let's read this pasuk because we're going to darshan it a few times. Vizot, this is Vayikra Tevav Gimel. Bizot tiet tumato, this will be the manner that he's tamei. Bizovo rar besaro et zovo, okay, or bizovo rar besaro et zovo, o hechtim besaro, mizovo, o hechtim besaro mizovo, tumato hi. Okay, so now, the end of this pasuk says hechtim besaro. Hechtim means it's sealed, right? It sealed his flesh. So what does it mean to seal his flesh? Well, it covers, right? It covers up the tip of it. So now we say, v'ha'anantanam, but wait a minute. Okay, so now we have an issue. Shmuel says you need enough to cover the piyama. So now they say, but doesn't it say in our Mishnah, mitami b'kol shehen, which sounds like you don't need that much to come out, any little bit, even if it doesn't cover and seal the top of it. So hu da'amar k'Rabbi Natan. So now we say, he holds like Rabbi Natan. Okay, Shmuel, Titania, Rabbi Natan Omer Mishum Rabbi Ishmael, Zav Tsarich Khatima Piyama, Velo Hodulo. Okay, if the Chachamim didn't agree with him, our Mishnah follows Chachamim, Shmuel follows Rabbi Natan, who says in the name of Rabbi Ishmael. So now they're going to say, my time under Rabbi Ishmael, Damar Kra, O Hichtim Besarom Izavo. And there you have it, he learns it from the Pasuk that we said. The Rabbanan, what does Rabbanan do with that Pasuk then? Ahu Mibaile Lach Metame Ve'eno Metame Yavesh. He learns from there that it has to be liquidy and not dry. If it comes out dry, then it won't be able to be something that theoretically could seal, even if this amount can't seal, but it has to theoretically be able to seal, means it has to be liquid. The Rabbi Yishmael, where does he learn lach and not yavesh? If he needs hichtim to teach you, it has to actually cover the whole area. Rabbi Yishmael, haumi rar nafka. Okay, from this word rar, that's something that's, right, rar is, I don't know, is that translation, how they translate it? But it's like a liquid, like a...
Rear is usually...
What?
Rear.
Right, it's usually mucus. Saliva or mucus, right, mucus. So he learns it from the word rar. The Rabbanan, hahu, so what do they do with rar? So, hahu leminyanu hudata. He learns this whole pasuk. The word rar is not to teach you liquid. The word rar is to teach you how many times does the zav need to see in order to become a zav. Remember, we had this whole thing. Now we'll learn it again. And we actually didn't learn it from this pasuk last time. We'll get back to that. We learned it from a different pasuk. Remember, hazav et zovo. It said it twice, and that shows two riyot. So now, and we had like this word, and then that is three, and that's four. So anyway, he's going to say like this. Zovo, and that's why I read you the pasuk. You can follow along in the pasuk also. The pasuk starts with zovo. Zot tietumato bizovo. Zovo chada, that's one ria. Rar bisaro is tre, that's the second ria. So that's what he uses it for. And he doesn't use it to teach you it has to be liquidy. He uses it to teach you how many times the zav need to see in order to become tamet. So we have the word zovo, then we have rar bisaro, and then we have et zovo. right? Rav Bersero, etzovo. What do we learn from etzovo? Tlat. Limed al zav, baal shalosh re'iyot shechayav b'korban. So from there he darshins that you need three re'iyot in order to need a korban. Remember we said, two re'iyot, you have to wait the 7 days, right? One re'iyot, you're just tamei for the day. Two re'iyot, you have to wait 7 days. And three re'iyot, you already have to wait the 7 days and bring a sacrifice. Now we're going to continue to darshan this pasuk. O hechtim besaro mizavo tumato, O hechtim besaro mizavo tamei, should say tumato hi. Mizavo. That's also the... O hechtim besaro mizavo tamei, miktsat zavo tamei. Limeir azav baal shtei ri'iyot shemetamei mishkav u'moshav. So the end of that pasuk is bringing another zav. What's that coming to say? It's to say that if you only saw two re'iyot, then you're going to be b'tameh mishkav u'moshav. Okay, let me just read that better. It should say, O hechtim b'saro, which basically they don't say this, but what it means is hechtim b'saro comes to teach you what we already learned, that it's lach, right? There needs to be liquidy. And then mizovo tumato, it's a mistake, like I said, because that's what the pasuk says. From here we learn miktsat zavo tamei, which means that even if you haven't seen the full zav, you haven't had all three re'iyot, even, right, what is mizavo? Mizavo is always, mi always comes to limit, right? Even if there's less than the regular amount of zav, it's mizavo, it's only part of it, meaning two out of three re'iyot, you're still going to be tamei. Okay. Then tamei enough, right, I forgot to say this, that the one re'iyah, you're not tamei mishkav u'moshav. But the two re'iyah, you're already tamei mishkav u'moshav. Besides, you have the 7 days, you're also tamei anything you sit on, anything you lie on. For Rabbi Yishmael, again, we're doing the ping pong, what does he do? So minyana minale, if he needs this pasuk for his drasha, that you need chatimat piyama, and then you need the other thing, teach you lach. So now, what does he do with this? Where is he going to learn the minyana? Naf kalemi de Rabbi Simai. Titanya Rabbi Simai Omer, so he learns it from a different pasuk. Rabbi Simai Omer, Mina katuv shtayim ukra otamei, shalosh ukra otamei. So now, what does he say? The pasuk says two times zav, and it says tamei, and it also says three, and it's tamei. Okay, what's the shtayim? So ish. Now we're in a different pasuk. Okay, this pasuk is ish ki yezav mivsaro zovo tamehu. That's what we darshaned it the last time we talked about this. It says zav, and it says zovo, and it says tamehu. That's where you get two. What about the three? The next pasuk says bizotie tumato bizovo. This is our pasuk that we just read, rar bisaro, etc. So the zovo in the beginning of that pasuk is three. So now, right, the first pasuk had two, and the second adds a third, or the second pasuk actually has three, maybe it even means, the second pasuk has three mentions of zav, that's what we just said. In other words, what did we do? We said the second pasuk we just used to learn all three places, and two. Here he says, no, one pasuk has two, one pasuk has three, and also uses the word tumato at the end of the pasuk. So haketzad, how do you explain that one pasuk says zav twice, and one pasuk says it three times? Shtayim l'tumah v'shalosh l'korban, right? One pasuk is referring to the fact he becomes tamei, and the second pasuk is referring to the fact that he needs to bring a korban. So you're tamei already at two, but you only bring a korban at three. Ulaman denavke le'travayu mizot tiyet tumato b'zavo ish ish ki yezav mivsaro mai avidle. But if you learn it out from, if you learn both out from zot tiyet tumato, remember, we're back now to the first opinion. If you learn out the whole thing from the second pasuk, so what are you going to do with the first pasuk? Ish ish ki yezav mivsaro. What are you going to do with that? Mibayele ad shietze mivsaro. It teaches us the halacha we learned earlier in our Mishnah, which is mivsaro coming to teach you only once it leaves your basar. Zovo tamei lamali. But what do you need the words there? Zovo tamei at the end of the first pasuk. Limer al azov, because that explains ki yezav mivsaro. That explains the first reference to zav. What about the second reference to zav in that pasuk that says zov tamei? Lamali, limer al azov shehu tamei. What does it teach you? Now, the Torah really talks about what kind of tuma? The zav himself is tamei. But how do we know that what comes out of his body is tamei? right? The liquid itself that comes out, forget about liquid like urine and things like that, but the zav, the discharge that he has, which causes him to be tame, is an avatuma. It's metame also. So that, where do we learn that from? From the word zovo tame, it teaches you his zav is tame. So again, we have one pasuk which has three references. The first opinion we saw learned out two riyot and three riyot from that pasuk. And therefore, the first pasuk, he needs to teach other things. Number one, the zav has to actually, the stuff has to actually leave his body in order for him to become tameh. And the second thing is that zovo tameh, which means even what comes out of his body is tameh. Whereas the other opinion, darshan, right, Rabbi Simai, basically darshan two from one pasuk, that teaches you two is tameh, and three from the second pasuk, which teaches you three times for korban. Amar Rav Chanilai, Mishum Rabbi Lezer bar Rabbi Shimon. Shichvat Zera, Leroa b'mashu l'nogea b'chadashan. Okay, this is our last topic for today. Shichvat Zera, if you see it coming out of the body, it's metame b'mashu. But if it, you touch it, then b'chadashan. Okay, or if you touch, if it touches something, then there has to be a minimum shiur for it to be metame. So now, right, this is a little connected to the last line we just said. We were talking about I just want to make sure you're following this. We were talking a minute ago about the zav discharge. Now we're talking about semen that comes out. Okay, so semen, not zav, because we're kind of switching. There we were all about zav. Now we're going back to shechvat zera. So if a man sees shechvat zera coming out, it's metame b'mashu. But if this is according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But if someone touches it, then it has to be the shear of a lentil. But didn't our Mishnah say it's mitame b'kolshu? Meaning, right? My lav linogea. Isn't our Mishnah talking about touching it? Lo, liroe. No, they say no. In fact, our Mishnah is only talking about when you see it coming out, it's mitame b'mashu. So we have this split here between the difference between seeing it and touching it, which we've seen this split a lot of times about the difference between tuma. We're always more machmir on tuma that you see rather than tuma that's just the item, right? You see it coming out of your body rather than something that touches. Tashma. So now they say, okay, well, we have another source. Chomer b'shechvat zera. This is going to also raise a question. Chomer b'shechvat zera mi b'sheretz. Okay, there's a chumra about shechvat zera over shratzim, the way they're metame. Again, they should be theoretically the same, right? Sheretz is an avatuma, shechvat zera is an avatuma, and they're metame. So there's a chomer, though. V'chomer b'sheretz mi b'shechvat zera. So shechvat zera has a chomer, and sheretz has a chomer. Chomer b'sheretz, sha'sheretz en chalukat tumato. The sheretz, there's no distinction within its tuma. We don't yet know what this means, don't worry, hold off. Masha'en kem b'shechvat zera. But that's not true for shechvat zera, okay? It is chalukat tumato. There's some distinction, we don't know yet what. This, by the way, is not relevant to our issue. We're trying to get to what is the shear for, right? Is the shear, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, there's a different shear of shechvat zera if it's roe or if it's nogea, right? If you see it coming out, it's b'mashu. If it's nogea, it's ke'adasha. So now, this source is going to contradict that, but we haven't yet gotten to the contradiction. So now again, they say my lav lenogea, and here it says it's metame b'mashu. And we assume this refers. Why do they keep assuming it refers to nogea? Because they're saying, doesn't it mean nogea and roen? It doesn't mean every way. Because if it only meant one way, it would say so specifically. Then they answer, no. You could say it leroen. You could say it's referring to roen. Now that we already brought this, now we're going to have a question on another issue here. Okay, we're going to have three things we do with this brayta. The first is we try to bring it as contradiction, and then we answer the contradiction, because we can say this brayta is only talking about roe. But now we're going to have two other things to deal with in this brayta. Bahad dumia desheretz katane. Oh, sorry. This is still within that. I forgot. Before we get to the second thing, we're still within this. How can you say it's talking about roe and not nogea? What is the brayta set up? The similarity, or the difference, really. Right? When you set up a difference, it's usually these two things are similar, except there's one difference. So now we're comparing sheretz to shechvat zera. Now, sheretz, how are you metame? Beroe or benegia? You see a sheretz, you don't become tame, right? You become tame when it touches you. So, b'ha dumia de sheretz katane. It says it's like sheretz. How is it not like sheretz? Ma sheretz benegia, av shechvat zera benegia. So wouldn't you assume then the topic of this brayta is negia? So I'm Rav Adbar Abba, Shum Sheretz Katane v'Shum Shechvatzera Katane. No, it's just comparing the way you become Tameh Sheretz and the way you become Tameh Shechvatzera. And Shechvatzera, you often become Tameh because it came out of your body, Roeh. And Sheretz, you become Tameh when it touches you. So just because they're saying there's one difference, they could be talking about different aspects of, you know, the way Sheretz and Tameh in a different way than Shechvatzera. That's not really a problem. But now we're going to have another question here about the Braita, again, not relating to our issue. Starting from the words b'sheretz. B'sheretz lo matame b'mashehu. Okay, what did this say? It said that, right, chomer b'shechvat zera, that shechvat zera is matame b'kolshu, mashe enkem b'sheretz. But now they say what? Sheretz is not matame b'kolshu? V'ha'anantnan, doesn't it say, ha'evarim ein lahem shi'ur. If you have an aver of, it could be of an avela, of a person dead body that's metame mate, or an aver of a sheretz. Okay, if you have an aver, a limb of a sheretz, ein lahem shi'ur. Okay, so here they say, everim ein lahem shi'ur, pachot mikazayat basara mate, upachot mikazayat basara nevela, upachot mikhadasham in a sheretz. Okay, the everim in all these cases, you could be metame even if it's not a shi'ur. Okay, it's a teeny little aver, but it's a whole aver. It's matame. So what do you see here? Even a sheretz is matame b'mashu. So how could the Braita have said, again, we're off our topic now, but how could the Braita, we just got into this Braita, so now we're talking about the Braita, how could it have said that the sheretz is matame b'kadasha? So the, and saying that shechvat zera has a chumra that sheretz doesn't have, when sheretz also has that chumra. Maybe not in every case, but there is a case where sheretz is matame b'mashu. So what do they say? Shani Aver dekule bimkom adashakai. An Aver is different. We've talked about this many times. We've learned about things being batel and canceled, right? That an Aver is a whole entity. So it has what we call chashivut. It has importance, significance. Because it has significance, therefore it's like mekom adashah. We don't call that a mashu. It's not a mashu. It's a something. Mashu is almost like nothing. This is a something. Daha, how do we know this? Ilu chaser porta aver mikametamia. If the aver was missing, if the limb was missing a teeny bit and it wasn't a whole aver, wouldn't be metame. So that proves that it has to be chashuv, and once it has to be chashuv, we wouldn't call that a mashu. So that's not a problem with the Braita.
I'm picturing a cockroach leg, which is so tiny that it's hard to think of it as having chashuv.
Right. But yeah, but that's what they're saying. It has importance. Mm-hmm. Shechvat zera de chalukat tumato mahi. Now the third thing we have to deal with is Braita again. The first was a question on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon that was quoted by Rabbi Chanilai. The second was about this halacha about a sheretz b'mashu, and the third is now to explain what this meant in the Braita in the beginning of the Braita when it said shechvat zera is chalukat tumato. Okay, whereas sheretz is not chalukat tumato. Ilema. So again, what does it mean? There's some sort of distinction. Ilema bein Yisrael ledin ochrin. Because we learned this before, that a nochri shechvat zera is not metame, and a Jew's shechvat zera is metame. So hachinami ika achbar diyamu v'achbar diyabasha. But also by shratzim, there's an achbar diyam, which is not tame, and there's the achbar and the yabasha, the one who lives on the ground, he is metame, right? The achbar that we call, the achbar that lives in the water is not, and the one that lives on land is. So they also have distinctions between names of, you know, this and that, that could be some metame, some not. Ela ben katan legadol. They're saying, right, a baby sheretz is going to be metame, but a young boy is not going to be metame until, right, his shechvat zera is not metame until he's 9 years and a day. So Amar Papa Kitanai, he says the following is found as a machloka tanaim. Okay, now we're, oh, I have to just stop for a sec. We're now back to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who's quoted by Rav Hanilai, said that that the line about, sorry, shechvat zera l'roe b'mashu l'nogea b'chadasha. Okay, we're now going back to the halacha, and Rav Papa says it's actually a machloket tana'im. Minayin l'rabot nogea b'shechvat zera. How do we know that if you're nogea b'shechvat zera, you're tamei? Talmud lomar, o ish. Okay, because it says, now, here's the pasuk, O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz asher yitmalo. Okay, person who touches any sheretz, or oba adam asher yitmalo, or he touches a person, okay, he'll become tameh. Now, what's weird about that pasuk? It should have started ish, Why did it say O ish or a person? Okay, so he says that's where we learn Nogea b'shechadzera. Okay, the O by sheretz. Okay, pay attention. The O in the sheretz case teaches you, because there's an extra O, it teaches you also shechvatzera is metame by touching it. Okay, now they're going to say, we haven't yet gotten to the machloket tana'im. The whole question now is nogea b'chadashah, or is it b'mashu? So plige tana'i ba'alma. So now the tana'im have a machloket about this. De'ika da'amre don mina u'mina, v'ika da'amre don mina va'okei ba'atra. Remember what this means? Don mina u'mina means if we're going to learn something from somewhere else, here we're learning shechvatzera from sheretz, does that mean we learn in principle that it's tameh and in all its details how it's metameh? Sheretz metameh b'chadasha, and therefore shechvatzera b'negiyah is going to be metameh b'chadasha, because the noseh of that pasuk is touching, right? Asher yiga. Or do we learn in principle that the shechvatzera is metameh from the sheretz, but we learn from shechvatzera itself that roah shechvatzera is b'mashu, so we're going to, when it comes to the details, we're going to learn it from itself, from its own laws. So that's what it means, v'oke ba'atra, we're going to return it back to its own, you know, its own topic. So, de'ika da'amre, don mina u'mina, de'ika da'amre, don mina v'oke ba'atra. Leman da'amar, don mina u'mina, if we're going to learn it from sheretz all the way, we're going to say it like this. Ma sheretz b'negia, af shechvatzera b'negia. Umina, and then we're going to learn, the next step is, and from sheretz, ma sheretz b'chadasha, af shechvatzera b'chadasha. And then we're going to learn the shi'or from there. Ulamanda amar don mina ba'okei ba'atra, we're going to say, ma sheretz b'negia, af shechvatzera b'negia. But then, okei ba'atra, but return it to its own place. Ma shechvatzera l'roa b'mashu, af l'nogea b'mashu. So there we have a machloka tana'im about whether nogea is b'chadasha, like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said, or nogea is b'mashu, like that. But it's not so simple, because this is what Rav Papa said. Amar le Rav Huna b'reid Rav Natan le Rav Papa, mimai. Why are you saying that we learn it from the O of that pasuk, O ish asher yiga b'chol sheretz? Really, mimai de sheretz kamarabela. Why are you saying that it's learned from the drasha of O ish? Now one can see why one would get confused by this. Dilma mi O ish asher tetzei mimenu shechvatzera kamarabela. Now maybe you learn negia from the pasuk that says, or a person who, now this pasuk is, I believe it's the pasuk right before that pasuk. Okay? It says, I don't have it right here in front of me. I don't know why it's not here. It's in the pasuk right before it. It also says O ish. Now, what happened here? Everybody knew there was a drasha from O ish. Now, they want to learn out to Manigia. You have two options. Either you can say we learn it from sheretz, where it says Kol Asher Yiga, or maybe it's learned out from Ish Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shechvatzera, which is learned out from Roe. From the O in Roe, we learn to the Nogea also. Not just Roe, also Nogea. And then, if you're going to learn it from the Roe case, well, if Roe is B'mashu, then obviously you're going to learn that Nogea is B'mashu. So he says, right, why are you assuming that it's the O Ish of Sheretz? Maybe it's the O Ish Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shechvatzera Kamarabele. And then, Tekule Alma Domina Omina. And no one's going to say, and then we're left with, where did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon get it from? Nogea B'chadasha. So Shayalinu Litanai. So they asked around. Now they said, oh, really, which is the O Ish Drasha? Is it the O Ish of Sheretz? Or is it the O Ish from Shechvatzera? So let's see the answer they came up with. Ika detani karav papa, v'ika detani karav huna b'reid rav nata. In other words, what they do, they went to ask all the people who were the ones who memorized Braitot. And some of the people said it's from the O'ish of Sheretz, and some of the people said it's from the O'ish of Shechvatzera, of the Roeb Shechvatzera, and therefore we just end with, there's different misorot out there about where it's learned from, and then it would affect whether you say, is there a machloket tana'im about this, or is it obvious that Negia is going to be b'mashu, which then raises a question on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon.